My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. Today we are with Nicholas and Megan Lemore, who have come here from Vermont to serve in this area. Welcome to Inside United.
Thanks, Mr. Kubik.
We're glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, so we're so very glad to be here with you. And my wife and I are visiting with them. They've been here for 2 months now. Now, here's what they're doing here. Nicholas and Megan were asked, we put out an ad in our e-news, if anybody was interested in coming to serve in Malawi. Actually, we thought nobody would be a taker for it. This is not an easy assignment. And before the e-news was read on the Sabbath, they got a hold of it somehow, and they called us, and before we knew it, they're here. Anyway, I want to hear your side of the story now, Nick.
Sure. So a funny thing, you would mention that you thought no one would want to come here because my uncle forwarded me the email, and as soon as I saw it, I forwarded it to my wife and said, Megan, look at this. She said, I think we need to talk about this before you make any decisions. So we prayed about it that night, prayed about it the next morning, and we immediately applied.
Now, one thing about the two of you, you are not novices to international travel. We've actually been shadowing each other around the world. You've been to Brazil, I've been to Brazil. You've been to India, we've been to India. You've been to South Africa, we've been to South Africa. And I mean, there's been one place after another. So when we saw your name, we thought, hey, these people know the ropes. They know international travel. But it's unusual to have a husband and wife who are so together on something such as this. Megan, I'd like to really hear your side of the story.
Well, I would say that Nick is probably the more adventurous of the two of us, and he is the one who finds all of these opportunities and then politely asks my opinion, and then we make the decision together whether we will travel or stay home. We always decide to travel. And so it has been harder for me, I think, in the traveling aspect of things, but he's very supportive and helpful with my fears or discomforts or something. He always makes it more comfortable for me. So,
well, one thing that we found, just my wife and I observing you two both, that you have been so supportive of each other. I mean, you just kind of blend together. You're just one unit.
We help fill in the shortcomings that the other one has. Megan probably does more filling in than I do. But
that's a kind statement.
Thank you.
So you saw the announcement about coming here, and it didn't seem like it, you know, you said you wanted to talk and everything. It seemed like you contacted us within 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. So basically what happened is I sent in the announcement, I think either on a Thursday maybe, and then on Friday, Aaron Dean got back to me and said, great, we're so happy to hear about this. And then you actually got a hold of me and said, oh, we were thinking that you might be interested in this, but you already applied. And then at the beginning of the next week, Mr. Dean called us and immediately started telling us information about being here in Malawi. So we thought, well, are we accepted? Are we going? Oh, man, the suspense is killing me. And Megan was probably like, oh, man, I hope they say they don't want us. But I was super excited for the past few years a few years. You know, we've just been praying for direction in life. Like, what does God want to do with us? We're willing. We're here. What do you want to do with us, God? And once we applied, everything just seemed to fall into place. We didn't have any resistance. All the doors just opened to the next step. We had no trouble with our visa process. We had no trouble with anything else.
Well, that's what I heard. You know, we heard that it just really went smoothly. Now, I need to really explain to everybody why you're here. In fact, you may even want to know yourself.
I have asked that before.
First of all, here's a global view, you know, a view from the top as to how we see serving in these areas. We have churches. We have people who have come to understand the truth of God from the publications that we have, some from the internet, some that go back 30, 40 years. If you've noticed here in the church, there are people that have a long history, and there are new people coming along. So we have churches, but we really need to have people who will lead these people here and explain these truths. The Lemores here, along with the other two couples that have come here to serve in a role that is a spiritual role in explaining things and encouraging people based on what's in the Bible, acting in, yes, a ministerial role, a pastoral role in caring for these people. They are here to help them, as you will note, that when you're in a country like Malawi, which is rated anywhere from the 3rd to 11th poorest in the world and has a horrible infrastructure where half the healthcare and education is handled by NGOs, non-government organizations, that you have to take that into consideration. You can't just tell people.
You know, one of the really interesting things is that people here, because they have a lot less than we typically have in the U.S., they're really excited for the truth. It's something that doesn't rot away and you can't steal it, and they really appreciate having it. You know, they're zealous. They want this way of life.
Well, yes, and already, you know, we've traveled now in South Africa, but mostly in Zambia on this trip, and here in Malawi. The people really are as dedicated and as committed as they are anywhere in the world. We're 8,300 miles away, and we're not here on a daily basis. And while we've traveled here, my wife and I have been here probably a dozen times, you know, to this area, we're gone for months at a time, and we appreciate people being on the ground and being able to figure things out.
It's easy to get to know people when we have one common denominator, and that's God and his way of life. So being here, I wouldn't consider myself able to lead anybody, but I'm able to love. And loving the people here has been so easy. And getting to know them and to grow that love, I think it will help then lead the congregation, the people here, the brethren, in a good and positive direction.
Well, Megan hit upon something that I want to share with everybody here. Leadership, in large part, is love. And one of my mentors back from 40 years ago told me, just not too long ago, he's retired now, that the success for leadership in the ministry is twofold. Number one, stay close to God. Make sure your life is in sync with him. And number two, for success in the ministry, is loving and respecting the brethren. You know, to really love them. That's what Megan just brought out. Mm-hmm. Loving them and respecting them. They all have the same future that we do. The great equalizer, death, is going to make us all equal before God. And God is no respecter of persons. And when you take a look at these people that make 50 times less than we do, some of them are at subsistence. In fact, probably the majority of them are at subsistence level. They are just as valuable to God as somebody who makes a six-figure, seven-figure salary or is a billionaire.
Yeah, Mr. Kubik, that's what's so great about God's way of life is that it doesn't matter if you make $1 million a year or $10 a year. God's standard, God's law is the same for everybody, and that bar doesn't change. And people come from all over the world to go through this one tiny narrow gate, and it's the same standard. So the same struggles that I face are the same struggles that an individual here in Malawi might also face, and an individual in India might face.
Well, I found too that when you talk to people just about their personal lives, they have the same issues with families, same issues with kids, same issues with marriage.
The people here, as much as we are here for them, they are here for us as well, because God's family, iron sharpens iron. Where we are weak, they are strong. Where they are weak, we are strong. And just being together and working together is what's going to help here.
And I've just been very impressed by the fact that you seem to know all the people. I mean, there's hardly a name that's come up that you say, oh, I know who he is, and that you know a little bit about them. That's been wonderful.
Yeah, if you read Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, that's one of his biggest points, is that he would say he knew everyone from the CEOs of a company down to the janitors. And I think that really goes a long way in our personal lives, and I always try to practice that.
I'd say that from when our feet hit the ground, that was our main goal, was to get to know the people, because how can you help people if you don't know them, if you don't know their needs or who they are or where they come from? It's much easier to help people if you get to know them.
That's what Paul always talked about. You know, he met people where they were at. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what we're trying to do.
But everybody wants to be loved. And as Megan said, you know, to lead them, she doesn't know about leading, but she knows about love. Actually, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah. When you came here, what did you expect, and what was different from what you thought, and what was the same?
Coming here, because we had been to India before, I kind of planned on it being like India, which was terrifying to me. Only because that was the first time I'd ever been in a country so densely populated and so with so many people. One, it was really hot as well. And so I was just planning on it being like that. It actually is not like that.
It's hot.
It is hot, yeah. In Malawi, it is different than India. And it was different also because we didn't have an end date. We were here to live. And so that was also a little overwhelming for me. But now that we're here, it feels like real life. It feels like this is our life and we do our daily activities, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I came here, I was expecting, oh, you're going to live in the capital city of Malawi. And I thought, well, that is terrible. I do not want to live in a city. But upon arriving here, you find out that it's really not like a city in the U.S. It's more like a rural village that has a lot of people in it. So it's atypical for a city, I would say.
Other activities are kind of different, like grocery shopping is a little different because we can just walk up the street to a man selling vegetables on the corner, and that's where we get our vegetables from. And then there are people driving around with chickens tied to bicycles, and you can buy a chicken off a bicycle. That's a little different than the United States. It's the same in the sense that we get up, we eat breakfast, we do our laundry, we go grocery shopping, but it's different in the way that these tasks are, like going grocery shopping is not going to a grocery store and buying all you need. It's going
to
a market.
Also, the laundry is a bit different. We also have a washing machine, which is a great blessing. Many people here don't have access to power or running water, let alone a washing machine that uses both. It's better than washing it in a bucket, which is a great blessing.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to hear about your blessings. Count them one by one.
Yes.
Yeah. One story, since we're kind of telling stories, and I don't know where this will end up, but I wanted to talk about the mosquitoes. So I could fall asleep in a field full of mosquitoes and I wouldn't get a bite. Megan could be wrapped up in duct tape 3 inches thick and would be covered head to toe in mosquito bites. And that's significant because malaria is huge here. It's widespread. It's endemic throughout the country. And from about maybe 9-10 o'clock at night through 4 or 5 in the morning are when the mosquitoes that carry malaria are out and about. So in the U.S., you don't think anything about going to bed. You just go to bed. Here, we make sure we shut all our windows. We make sure that we have the mosquito nets tucked in underneath the mattress so that the bugs don't get in. And then somehow they still do. And Megan will wake up with 5-10 new bites in the morning. But it is something that people here have to deal with on a daily basis. You know, they don't have access to a lot of the medicine that we do.
Yeah, and we're blessed to have windows that we can close and a bug net. A lot of people don't have doors on their houses or windows or anything, or they're sleeping outside. And so these little blessings that we have are actually huge blessings comparatively.
I'm sure that when you came here and as you evaluate your future, and one thing that Megan said, there was no end date, and we don't have an end date either.
Right. Sure.
In the work that you did before, you worked with the forestry
service? Yeah. So what I did before was in the field of arboriculture. So I have a degree in forestry, and then from my previous company, someone said, well, are you afraid of heights? And I said, well, no. Oh, well, we have a position as a tree climber. So I started climbing trees. And I did that for 7 years. And I was a foreman for the past 4 or 5 years. And, you know, I really enjoyed it. But it seems like that's maybe the end of a chapter for now, at least. Plus, my body can't really take that kind of work anymore. The older I get, the more pain I have.
What life goals do you have as far as seeing your role developing here and helping these people physically, spiritually, giving everything from sermons to Bible studies to organizing events like the Feast of Tabernacles? I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah. So one thing I want to touch on is there is a congregation that's thriving here in Lilongwe, the capital city. There's another congregation 4 hours south in Blantyre, the previous capital city. But also, last year, the brethren here in Lilongwe were keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were keeping it, like you might have heard Darris McNeely talking about, out on a plot of land in tents or in booths. And they were, you know, digging pit latrines and cooking over fires every night. And there was no electricity. And some local villagers were like, what are these weirdos doing? Why are they camping out in this field? And ever since then, since the feast last year, there's been this group of people in a small village called Nkwazi. And there's maybe 15 to 25 members, I say members of this new congregation who meet every Sabbath now. And every time they learn a new truth about the Bible, they're like, we need to keep this. Before Brennan and Mikola left, Brennan taught them about tithing, and they said, we feel like we need to start tithing. I've been going every single week up for a weeknight Bible study. It's about an hour west of here. These people are hungry, and they want to learn.
Well, what do you want to end up with? If you want to go back and after X amount of months, years, whatever, you know, you'll say, I'm so glad that I was able to accomplish this. And as you look ahead, what types of things would you like to accomplish?
I often look to the Bible for inspiration, and I see the example of Paul. You know, after he was called on the road to Damascus, he didn't necessarily have any specific things. It was kind of like in James where it says, you know, woe to you who say, a year from now I'm going to go to such and such a city, buy and sell and make a profit, because you don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow, let alone a year from now. So we just hope that we're led by the Spirit to, you know, prepare God's people so that they can help serve each other and help lead each other. You know, ultimately, I would love to see Malawi be self-sufficient and not have the need for us to even be here at all. But in the meantime, we're going to work on training some of the local leadership.
I would say that my personal goal here is to help the women. I feel like religion for women here is a little bit less of their own and more of what their husbands do.
Yeah, I think.
And
right.
So I would like to help show the women through example, through maybe women's meetings and such, that God wants them, doesn't just want their husband. He wants them. He wants women individually to love him and to come to him. And I think that is, would be a huge step for them here in Malawi to be able to cling to religion as their own and not as something their husband has brought to them.
That's a tremendous statement, because I know that women just follow their husbands. Oftentimes they don't even know English. And the only thing that they know about the faith is what their husband tells them or doesn't tell them.
Right, right. And who knows, you know, who knows what that is. That's not from God, that's from man. Mm-hmm. And so to have a personal relationship with God for the women here, that would be my main goal for them.
You were saying, too, that you wanted to see local leadership be able to carry on. And that's what we really want, you know, ultimately for the people here to be able to make their decisions, you know, to have the leadership and so forth. So this has been just very, very wonderful to talk to both of you here to get this impression. And we feel like we've known you forever.
Yeah, thanks so much for chatting with us. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming here to talk on Inside United.
Thank you so much. Thanks
for having us.
Zikomo.
Cheerio.
Okay, got it right. So thank you for joining us Inside United. Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.